it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, after being rained out in Washington, D.C. last night, Orioles are today in Kansas City as they open a three-game set against the suddenly improving Kansas City Royals. Kansas City, having played a four-game set against Tampa Bay recently, and they won three of the four games. And tonight, Dylan Bundy will take on Danny Duffy. Duffy, a left-hander, his record 2-3. Bundy will try and run his record to 6-1. Orioles are coming tonight with the second-best winning percentage in the Major League so far this year. In a moment, Buck Showalter and the skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Well, now we're in Kansas City and with the skipper, Buck Showalter. This is the manager's report. Buck, you've always said rainouts are never a good idea. I mean, down the line, you're going to pay the piper. Was there in any way, was that rainout a good thing last night?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, our makeup day is not that bad. We're in Baltimore, and we're just playing a single game. When you play doubleheaders, that's when it really taxes you for a long period of time. But, you know, we may get away with this one. Of course, you never know what the future is going to bring, you know, how we're constructed at that point. But, you know, it was a game that, you know, we would like to play, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
Well, the Nationals made that decision before the game started. You have any thoughts on the Nationals getting rained out again tonight?
No, not really. You know, it's Mother Nature. What are you going to do? We've moved on to Kansas City. Whatever has gone on, you know, that's their business, and we got our hands full here.
Let me ask you this. What are the major factors in your decision to just go ahead and give every starter an extra day?
Well, we've been looking to do that for a while, and looking at the schedule and everything, it's something we were going to do anyway. And, you know, we want to keep our guys in some form of a schedule. You talk to a lot of pitchers. That extra day means a lot to them. A lot of people might go, what's the big deal, one extra day? It means a lot in the recovery for guys. And, you know, obviously April and part of May was a challenge for us, but we got through it. But no, I think everybody is in need of it, and you know, we had to make some adjustments. That's one of the things that rainouts do. You have to kind of move some things around.
Again, with the skipper, Buck Showalter, in Kansas City, about to open up a three-game series. Let me ask you about this Kansas City ball club. They just beat Tampa Bay 3-4. So your thoughts on that ball club right now?
Well, we all know they're better than the record right now, and it's very early in the season, and looks like we're catching them on the upswing, so we're going to have to be ready. The guy pitching tonight, Duffy's really good. You know, one of the really underrated young starters in baseball. Really good arm that has really been a rock for them this year. He's been very consistent. We're facing their best starter tonight.
You have your best outfield defense out there for the game tonight. This ballpark has a lot to do with that?
Oh, that has something to do with it. You know, I want to get Gentry a start. We're going to try to get Flaherty a start. You know, these guys need to get out there and get some at-bats. Want to get the Chris the benefit of 2 days. You know, he's been grinding out there. And, you know, it's just an opportunity to get everybody in the flow. Don't want, you know, we're an injury away from some people having to play consistently. So we got to keep them in the flow and, you know, put our best foot forward not only today but down the road.
You mentioned Chris Davis getting a day today. You look at the 1-for-10 against Dan Duffy. Is that a factor at all?
No, I don't really pay a lot of attention to that with guys like Chris because his contact to damage ratio is so good. It's more about getting Craig at bat, get Trey a game at first base, get Trum out of the outfield physically for a day and let him get a blow and let Chris have the benefit of 2 days. And it's a long season, and I want to keep everybody involved in the game.
Let me ask you this, Buck. What do you consider to be the biggest factor in what has been a phenomenal start for Dylan Bundy?
I just think command of the fastball. I think he's had a lot of weapons each time he's out there. He hasn't been trying to more is better. You know, this guy's really pitched instead of thrown. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's got a lot of common sense when it comes to pitching. And he has a lot of respect for things, and he doesn't coast. I mean, he's gonna try to get everybody out with the same intensity every time out there. And I think he's also learned when to back off a little bit.
That is Buck Showalter, and that is the manager's report. Hey, Mike Bordick is with us here in Kansas City, all three games. Mike, before the game today, got together with Bobby Dickerson, and they will talk about Oriole defense when we continue with the warm-up show right after this. Joe Angel and Mike Bordick back in Kansas City tonight, first of three against the Kansas City Royals. In a moment, Mike Bordick with Bobby Dickerson as we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Visiting with Orioles infield and third base coach Bobby Dickerson, and we're going to talk about some of the defense the Orioles have been flashing here in the early part of 2017. Bobby, seems like you got these guys going in the right direction once again.
Well, you know, I'm fortunate to have some very professional guys. They go about their business the right way, led by J.J., of course. You know, we know J.J.'s been playing a long time now, and the things that keep him going, and even though, you know, he's not the same athlete he was at one point in his career, he's still a focused player. He takes care of the ball. He takes care of every pitch. He's mentally into every pitch, and that's something I'm hoping to rub off a little bit more on Jonathan next to him and Manny on the other side. Just the daily grind of the focus it takes to play, you know, 100 to 200 pitchers a game.
Well, you've had a historical defense here. Got some gold gloves on this Oriole infield. And it seems like they do a better job than anybody and have the last 5 or 6 years about taking care of the baseball. But what kind of things do you stay on them about? What is one of your pet peeves about just infield play in general?
Well, one thing is that I've always mentioned to them is just the ball touching the ground. Like anytime in pregame, anytime you're throwing the ball around the infield, you know, just the between innings, anytime, just outfielder throwing the ball in after a base hit. Just don't let the ball hit the ground. Just really take care of it. You know, catch, transfer, throw, and don't catch, throw, because if you'll start seeing bobbles, you'll see balls hit the ground in the transfer, and it makes the ball not important to them, and trying to keep the guys understanding how important it is defensively, just really, you know, you hear it in Little League, keep your eye on the ball. Well, I'll take it a step further, take care of the ball. Really, that's the important thing. Making sure the ball's not bouncing all over the place. And another thing we preach to guys, when a ball's coming your way, whoever throws it to you, it's no longer his responsibility. Once the ball leaves his hands and you're the receiver of the throw, it's your responsibility. Take care of it. Save your buddy a throwing error. Keep the ball in the problem there. If we bobble a ball, end it right there by catching it, picking a ball out of the dirt. Don't let it bounce all around the place.
The detail, it seems. You know, Buck Showalter has always preached detail. Obviously, you're a big proponent of that and a big reason why the Orioles are so strong defensively. Have you seen any, obviously, the recent rule changes, breaking up double plays, but how about infield play in general? Do you think it's at the highest level you've ever seen it, or do you think there's a lot of room for improvement?
You know, I think the guys are very athletic now. I mean, it's just so much more into conditioning and nutrition and everything. I think athletically, there's a lot of great athletes around the infield. But I think offensively, guys have made a lot of money. So I think defense, the details of defense throughout the league maybe has gone the other way. I think with sabermetrics and everything, it's starting to come back as an important thing. But, you know, just the fundamental way to do things, turn a double play, you know, with, like you said, with protecting the second baseman or the shortstop, the runners can't go get them. Now the fundamentals, they just catch it and throw it. Now there's no getting out of the way. There's no true fundamental other than, you know what, make sure you center the ball up in your glove, transfer it and throw it because the runner can't come get you anyway, so you can stay in there longer. Just so many little things like that. But as a whole, I think defense had gotten away from being very important. You know, guys are just trying to hit home runs and make their money with their bats.
Yeah, well, I agree with you totally there. You mentioned the sabermetric part about the defense. How much do you pay attention to that, and do you use that as just kind of a tool that you can, you know, hand your players and say, this is what we might have to work on?
You know, information is always valuable. I've said it before. We want to know how to position guys, where guys hit the ball. We want to be in the best position possible, and information helps you do that. What guys' history? And most of the guys' history is where their contact positions are. This is where they are. But one thing that I have a problem with sabermetrics and all the stat cast and all these different things that I see is how can it pertain to teaching? I want to know, like, if Jonathan Scope right now is he's only ranking about mediocrity right now. You're going to edit that. Mediocrity at second base, but his why? Is it his pre-pitch? Is it going to his forehand that's last in the league? Is it coming in on balls that's last in the league? I want to know more precise instead of telling me one big number, okay, his defensive run save is at the bottom of the league at second base. What does it mean? How can we improve it? In what areas is it? Now, my eyes and your eyes, we look at him and we see things that we know for sure, but if you can give me a way that all this information absolutely details, okay, it's because his first step is costing him 10 feet of range, that's going to be a major help if you can prove that to him and show him that in a metric. A broad number can be viewed in a whole lot of ways. You know, okay, Jonathan's range is not great. Well, he may have been playing up the middle on a 10-hopper that went through the four-hole, and he doesn't get to it, and everybody says, well, every other second baseman in the league would have got to that ball. Were they playing up the middle when they got to that ball? So these are the things I'm not sure of. I pay attention to all the numbers. I just would – the clarity of how this pertains in teaching a guy and helping a guy, because I'm an infield teacher. Most of the other people are infield evaluators, and it's a big difference. Okay, oh, his range factor's not great. Well, that's an evaluation. How can we get it better using sabermetrics?
Yeah, oh, well put, Bobby. You know, this Oriole defense is off to another sensational start. It's because Bobby Dickerson pays the ultimate attention to every aspect of the game. Thanks for being part of the show today, Bobby.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Mike Bordick, you talk about defense. Tonight, they're playing a Kansas City team that statistically is the best defensive team in the American League.
Yeah, the Royals are really not doing a lot of things well this season, but they are catching the baseball. Escobar at shortstop, one of the better shortstops in the game. Moustakas over at third, and the Gold Glove first baseman, really solidifying things on the defense. Defensive end Kane out in center field is going to be fun to watch. Obviously, a huge outfield here in Kansas City. There's going to be a lot of great plays.
Yeah, defense rarely goes into a slump.
You're right.
And
there.
That's a good thing. Tonight, game one in Kansas City, Danny Duffy, 2-3, Dylan Bundy, 5-1. Oriole baseball is next. All right, back in Kansas City, I'll tell you what, Bordy, Orioles offensively tonight, not a whole lot going on, huh?
No, you know, this offense has been swinging the bat so well here recently and hitting with runners in scoring position. Tonight, not as many opportunities. I think there were 2-for-8 in the ball game, and kind of spoiled another great outing from Dylan Bundy.
Yeah, Bundy good enough to win this game. He gets a no decision. Now, he was not at his best, but, hey, still pretty good.
You know, that shows you how good he is. Basically did it with two pitches. Didn't have the curveball, occasional cutter slash slider, but it was his changeup fastball that worked tonight.
Interesting, too, because you talk about the Orioles' offense. I mean, the two runs they scored were actually, if you look at it, pretty much gifts by Kansas City.
Exactly, yeah.
Jorge Soler in right field.
Yeah, diving right fielder kind of messed everything up for the Royals, and the Orioles really couldn't take full advantage of that. They did put runs on the board, not as many as they should have.
Well, the Oriole bullpen tonight, Givens came in. He pitched a scoreless seventh inning after Bundy had given up just a couple of runs on four hits with 8 strikeouts in 5 innings. Givens in the seventh inning gave up a walk and a hit basket, but was not scored upon. And then Nuno, what'd you think of his outing out of the bullpen?
Well, I was a little surprised Buck kept him in there. And, you know, I know that the Orioles bullpen has been taxed here recently. Just didn't expect Nuno to be the guy to pitch that inning.
I thought that Buck would also bring out Chris Davis as a pinch hitter for Caleb Joseph in the top of the ninth inning. He didn't do that, but that worked out because Caleb wound up at third base.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, Seth Smith comes up, who is arguably the Orioles' hottest hitter. So the Orioles had opportunities to put this game away. Just couldn't get over the hump.
But I have to admit, Bordy, I can't hear a word you say.
It's so firework night.
We're going to take a break. Post-game show brought to you by Browns Out of the City. Buy Happy with Browns. Back with more right after this. Joe Angel with Mike Bordick back in Kansas City. They lose this one by a run. 3-2. Kansas City wins the first of a 3-game series. Same two teams again tomorrow night. Chris Tillman in that game tomorrow night will try to become a 2-game winner. Well, the Royals had the early lead in the ballgame tonight against Dylan Bundy in the bottom of the first inning. One out, bases empty. Moustakas with a double to get into scoring position for Lorenzo Cain. Line drive, left field corner. That's a base hit. Over at Rickard. Oh, the ball goes right past him. Well, the run would have scored regardless. Moustakas comes in to score. The ball back into third. Cain winds up at second base. It's a 1-0 Kansas City lead. And then in the second inning against Danny Duffy, that was one out, bases empty. J.J. Hardy came up to hit He went the other way, and that's when Jorge Soler for Kansas City in right field made a defensive, well, judgment error. Now the 1-2, Hardy going the other way, line drive. Coming on is Soler. He makes a dive, and the ball goes right past him. It's back on the warning track. Hardy to second, turning second, on his way to third, and he's in there standing without even a play. Boy, Soler gambled and paid the price. He did. He turned a single into a triple, and then Caleb Joseph came up to hit. Fly ball. He drove it deep to left center. Gordon racing back. It's up against the wall. Going to be extra bases. Hardy comes in, and there goes Caleb Joseph. He drove it. He had double to pick up the RBI and make it a 1-1 game. 1-1 game, and then came the third. Two outs and the bases empty. Trumbo got a base hit. Scope got a base hit. Trumbo was out there at second base with two outs. Mancini came up to hit, and that's when the Orioles almost scored. Line drive toward left. Coming on, Gordon plays that ball on one bounce. A Trumbo being waved in. Here's the throw by Gordon on a bounce, and they're going to get him. Trumbo is tagged out. Well, the two outs, Trumbo going on contact, and Bobby Dickerson gambled, and Trumbo didn't make it.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty big gamble. That ball right at the Gold Glove left fielder, Alex Gordon, and Gordon just licking his lips when he saw Trumbo on his way home. Pretty easy third out right there.
Yeah. He was out by maybe 10 feet. Yeah, not a good decision, but so it stayed a 1-1 game. Dylan Bundy had settled in. In fact, when he went to work in the bottom of the fifth inning in a 1-1 game, he had retired 10 in a row and 11 out of 12. And then Brandon Moss came up to hit. Fly ball hit to deep right field. This ball is way back there. Gentry, forget about it. That ball is gone. Brandon Moss, his fifth home run. Kansas City ahead 2-1. But eventually the Orioles would tie the game in the top of the seventh inning. Caleb Joseph came up as the leadoff hitter, and again he made real good contact. Here's the 0-1 pitch. There's a drive to deep left. Racing back is Gordon. Racing back, going to reach up, and he cannot make the play. He's going to play the bounce off the scoreboard out there. Joseph into second base, and he slides in safely. He just barely beat the tag. Gordon almost got him, but not quite. Then Gentry laid down a bunt sacrifice to get Joseph to third base, and that's when the Orioles got a bit of a gift. And the 1-0 pitch. Rickard half swing at a break. Well, the ball gets past the catcher. And here comes the run. Joseph comes in from third on a ball that got by the catcher, Perez. Rickard swung at it. He missed the ball, and Perez never caught the ball. How about that on a wild pitch? Yeah, so it remained at that point. Orioles had gotten even, a 2-2 game. And then came the bottom of the eighth inning, after Bundy had gone six innings and Michael Givens had pitched a scoreless seventh. Vidal Nuño came out of the bullpen. He got one out. But then Lorenzo came with single, and then Hosmer came up to hit again. Nuño again delivers. Fly ball right center, heading for the gap. Adam Jones on the run. He's going to dive, and he cannot make the play. Came to third, being waved in. Here comes the throw back in towards second base. The run scores. In the eighth inning, Kansas City is taking the lead. A double by Hosmer to the gap in right center. And eventually, Kelvin Herrera, the Kansas City closer, came out of the bullpen. He got Mancini in the ninth to line out as Moustakas robbed him with a diving catch over toward the hole. Otherwise, it would have been a base hit, and things might have turned out a bit differently. One out, that's when Hardy would fly out for out number two. And then Caleb Joseph came out to hit with two outs and no one on base in a one-run game. And, well, we saw what we had seen earlier in the game. Herrera again ready and delivers, and Caleb loops it down there behind first base. That ball is dropping, and a dive there by Soler, and he cannot get it, and the ball got past him again. Caleb is around second, and he's going to get to third base. The tying run is at third base. Soler, for the second time in the game, gambled, and again he paid the price.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, he turned a single into a triple. And so the Orioles had the tying run just 90 feet away with two outs. That's when Buck Showalter went to his bench. He brought Smith on as a pinch hitter. And the 1-1 pitch popped him up, shallow left. Coming on is Bonifacio. He's under it. He's waiting. And he's going to make the catch. And that's how the ball game ends. And the Orioles here tonight in the loss column. We'll continue with our post-game show right after this. Joe Angel, Mike Bordig back in Kansas City. Tough loss here tonight. Kansas City wins it by a score of 3-2. Let's join Buck Showalter over on Masson.
Buck, one of those old-fashioned pitchers duel. What did you think of Dylan tonight?
Good. Gave us a good chance to win. Duffy's always pitched real well against us. We knew runs were going to be at a premium. But Dylan did another good job for us. He was solid.
27 pitches were fouled off by Kansas City batters. Is that just their resistance to be denied it in that bat to be able to prolong them?
No, there were a couple of, you know, that's kind of what they do. They've been doing it for a number of years, so it's certainly no surprise. But that really added up some pitches. But he made a lot of good pitches. Dylan was one of the reasons why we had a good chance to win tonight.
Yeah, his changeup was outstanding. So many swings and misses.
Yeah, they're ambushing fastball. They always have. You got to be careful. You got to be able to slow them down, and he did. He did. That was, Dylan's been a solid force.
And getting a big production tonight from the bottom of the lineup. Caleb had a big night. J.J. Hardy had the first triple of the year. Real good to see the bottom of the lineup contributing.
Yeah, we just, need to figure out a way to score some more runs. You know, we knew it was going to be tough with Duffy tonight, and, the opportunities, there weren't many opportunities, but, we got our share of hits, but it's one of those ball games that just one mistake was going to decide it.
Yeah, and it was also one of those games where the defense really played a big role. They made a couple of big plays that might have turned the game.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we lost. And regardless of what got us to that point, we have to do some things to keep it close, and that's good. But we got to do some things to push it over the top. We've done a lot of that this year. We didn't tonight.
All right, Buck, appreciate the visit.
All right, thank you.